Chris, what do you press to unmute if he's doing it from a phone?
It looks like he's using the Zoom app, Mr. President, so he can just click the unmute button.
Sure. There he is.
Oh, I'm sorry. First, my name's Rick Casella. I'm a resident of Ward 1, and I really only have one point. I kind of agree that moving it to the next level is not something that would be a bad thing, in that I agree with Ed Lattisaw that the at least at the very end of the process, the voter will have an opportunity to vote on it on a referendum. But I also understand Barbara Walsh's comments, and I think what she was getting at was asking if there was going to be any point in the process after we get through what sounds like she believes, and I agree, is a foregone conclusion that this will be moved on to the next level. But that is there any time in the interim that adjustments can be made to the design in that won't affect the contract itself? You know, instead of it being an all or nothing thing. I noticed Director Mr. Gothberg had his hand up when she was talking about that. Do you have a comment, sir?
Thank you, Rick. Question? Yeah, Steve Gothberg, Director of Constructions. Hi, how are you, Steve. Mr. Casella?
Good. How are you? And thank you for your time.
Thank you. There are. This is a conceptual design. What we apply when we submit our when the submission goes into RIDE for stage two, it is schematic and conceptual. As we move forward, there are many points where A, we can do value engineering, or there can be changes to be made that will affect the project. The base concept, the educational visioning, everything that we've done over the past almost 3 years has to stay, but because that's part of the submission. But there, you know, the structure of the building, what goes into it, the climbing wall, perhaps the walking track, things that people would consider frivolous, perhaps, could be taken out as value engineering. There are steps there. We will listen. The final product would not be etched in stone at this point in time, nor as it comes back to the committee to go to the state legislature. Final design does not start until bonding is approved. And at that point, as design starts, that's when things get etched in stone. Is that clear?
Yes. Sounds like it matters at the time what cost will be and where you can find the most economy. So I understand what you're saying. So the design will remain the same until the money is parceled out. And at that point, if there are changes or cost, you'll shuffle things around to stay within a certain budget range, I would assume. But, you know, the initial investment is going to be $200 million over the... That's what we've been talking about. Although there's everyone seems to believe, and I tend to agree, that it will probably cost more because everything does. So it gets back to a lot of the talk has been about we're going to have to pay the taxes. There's going to be taxes and tax increases. And that in my mind, it's a sacrifice that the taxpayer is going to be asked to be willing to make to help Warwick become better with its schools, its facilities, and more of an attraction. So, but I haven't heard, I've heard the, you know, the why, the where, and the when. I haven't heard about the how, except for that it's going to cost us more and we're going to have to go to the taxpayer. No one's talked about any kind of panel that's going to look into efficiencies in other facets of the way we run the city and the costs that we put out and the kind of sacrifices that are going to have to be made on that level from a total cost of operating things. You know, there was like a 5-year plan, something like that, which I know is not something that the council president thinks is worth the paper it's written on. But if we knew as the voters that we knew that we were going to try to make efficiencies elsewhere. We're talking about adding cost to the, we're not talking about a penny saved is penny earned. Doesn't seem like we're talking much about we've impaneled a group to, or we're planning on this, or we've looked into what we can do in other facets. I know we're talking about schools tonight, but there's all, it's all talk about what is coming out of my pocket instead of how can we change what we spend overall. And that is all, that goes to a wholesale change in the way we govern and how much detail we pay, how we handle interpretations. I've heard a lot of things about, well, we interpret this, or we won't really know until then. And, you know, that's been a tough road to hoe for the city over the years lately. And so there's a lot of, I think a lot of folks have questions. I supported moving to the next level. But I just, I'm concerned about the sacrifice coming only from the taxpayer. And I know we all are taxpayers in Warwick. And I think there's going to be some hard decisions going forward if we decide to go to you know, take this step that the council is going to have to make. People are going to have to be willing to step up and say, listen, if we're all going to, you know, make this investment in Warwick, then, and we're going to reap what we believe will be dividends from this investment, then at the very least, we're in it together. And that means tough decisions that have to be made are going to have to be made, because we all know it's politically popular for tonight to be the person that says, I'm for the kids and I want two new schools. But eventually there's going to be decisions that have to be made either in this process or in the process of running the entire $350 million corporation that Warwick is, and running it like a corporation, that we're going to have to find efficiencies of economy in all facets of Warwick's infrastructure and governance to offset some of these costs. If I want to buy a new car, I'm looking at my budget saying, well, what can I pay off, or what can I get? How do I find that money? And we're talking about, oh, we'll just go make more, when I should be starting by, if I economize and have two less pizzas, can I buy that house now? And as a realtor, I've always said, you know, the cost is, if I offer you a $1 million home and I tell you it's $1,000 a month, you don't care. You just like the price. And, you know, in the end, we're throwing some big numbers out there, and we might like the price today, but if that price changes, it changes for everybody. So we've got to be prepared to make, to do a little bit better, you know, and being willing to make the kind of sacrifices that are coming, and we'll, you know, spread the sacrifice around. But I hope it moves forward. I think that'll be good for the city to the taxpayers to have some input. And I hope you'll be having some live, you know, maybe public forums along the way to keep us posted, rather than just having us wait for a resolution to have a something put on the ballot. I'm sure you'll have other meetings, informational and such. I hope you better cut me off, or I'll keep talking. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Chris, if you can let the next person in.
Chris Minnett, please unmute.
Hi, how are you tonight?
Good, thank you.
I have a question. I was looking at, first of all, a 2015 consultants and report regarding the schools and when they started closing elementary schools and junior high schools. And it states in this report that there was a 47% excess space at the junior high and 37% in the high schools. And it says that the attendance was going to continue to decline, and that's when Warwick started closing schools. One of my questions is, do we really, I know everybody wants two high schools, but do we really need two high schools? And you're talking about building high schools because Pilgrim and Tollgate are both 50 years old. We have Holloman Elementary School that's built in 1960. We have Wyman that's built in 1936. Although we want to attract new families to Warwick, I understand that, and entice them. How can you entice a family with a high school that's only 4 years when you're going K through eight, which is 9 years of school, in schools that are much older? I've been in them. I went through the Warwick school system. When I walk in Holloman right now, nothing's changed. So how can we say we need new high schools and we don't need new elementary schools and we don't need a new junior high school, and we'll be looking at them shortly and saying now we need millions of dollars for them?
I'll let the school department answer that, but just to point out, we have done two bonds totaling over $90 million for elementary and middle schools. But Mr. Tester, I believe you have your hand up.
Thank you,
Council President. Dave Tester, building committee chair and school committee member. With respect to the 2015 report and the conditions of the elementaries and the schools in general, to the council president's point, the two previous bonds were all passed to address issues at the elementaries and the middle schools with respect to HVAC systems, windows, doors, building envelope, grounds, site work, et cetera. The high schools were among our most efficient deficient from that that analysis. And as part of this process, RIDE requires a demographic study, a third-party demographic study. And this is the third demographic study I've seen done on Warwick schools. And they've all said the same thing. I mean, the population declines and it's almost at the bottom, and then it starts to regenerate again. Now, it doesn't go back to 10,000 students, but it kind of plateaus and then starts to creep back up. And so every demographic study has shown that there's still going to be between 21, 22, 2300 high school age students in the city. So that population remains stable. So that's why initially the two high school plan was put forward. And I personally, I think Warwick is a two high school city. And that's, your point is well taken, the age of our elementary schools. And I think that the city has a long-range strategic plan, because if we're successful in building two new high schools, in 15 years, all that work we're doing at the elementary schools, I think it gets us 15 to 20 more years out of them. But then the city has to have a conversation as to what do we do with elementary schools? Other cities are doing that. Cranston is closing the old ones and building larger and fewer ones. And I think that's a conversation that 20 years from now or 15 years from now, this community has to have. And I would just note that East Providence's brand new high school, in a conversation with their superintendent last week, they've had 100 new students come back into East Providence High School. So I think new facilities are a draw for families. And I think that, you know, we don't have a lot of examples, but East Providence is probably the most pertinent one. And it does draw people back into the schools. And these were new kids. These weren't freshmen coming in. These were kids who were 10, 11, 12, when they're coming back to East Providence High School. Thank you.
Thank you. And one more question. Can I ask a question on placement of Pilgrim High School? Would someone be able to answer that?
Sure, go right ahead.
Okay, thank you. As far as Pilgrim's placement, I understand it will be on the football field side. Can you tell me, in anything I've read, it keeps speaking about the parking lot being set back in a buffer zone for the Pilgrim Parkway neighbors. The high school also has neighbors behind it on Eveleth, Bembridge, and Iroquois. How far back will it be to the fence on Eveleth? Will the neighbors there have a buffer zone, have the same as the front of the school?
Excuse me, Steve Gothberg, Director of Construction. It is pushed back farther than the existing school, but not substantially. There is space between that and that existing fence. And you are able to drive around the building, so there is space there.
So will it be the space of a road, or will it be additional space?
There should be additional, you can't have the road right up against it. There will be some additional space.
Can you tell me how much, or?
The plan is not exactly, it's schematic, it is conceptual. So I don't have specific distances at this point.
Okay, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Are there any more questions for members of the public? Any more questions for members of the public? Okay, hearing none, we will go back to the city council. So we have been discussing this for 2.5 hours at this time. So I'm gonna give everyone one last comment if they wanna make a comment. And then again, I'm going to ask for a motion on this PCR 21-22. Councilman Foley.
Thank you. I just want to say I started this off with comments, and I am going to vote in favor of sending it to the next step. I just have a lot of concerns about the cost and return on the dollar, and being a 40-year long educator, I know how important it is for our community to have state-of-the-art buildings, but we have to balance that with the concerns of taxpayers. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. First, a point of order question for our City Council solicitor. I know that I saw in the finance director's memo, and I'm not certain if this applies as to the vote tonight or the later vote, if it's approved tonight, and if it passes, further passes the process with RIDE, further process with the school committee. I guess to get to the question, does the vote tonight require an 8 out of 9 majority of the council, or does it require just a normal 5-4 simple majority?
Thank you, Councilman. A simple majority is all that is required. The reference to the it's 8 council people need to vote for it, because it's in the general law, it's about voting on the exception to the debt capacity question that requires a supermajority under the state law to proceed on that. So that is a question for the bond opportunity that may follow following RIDE review. That is not applicable to the vote before us this evening.
Thank you. Then I'll keep my closing remarks short. I don't take lightly this amount that the bond is suggested to be. I do understand, and there have been a lot of conversations, meetings between the school committee, building committee, and I do understand the logic in having the two schools as opposed to one or the other, and the two schools as opposed to building one mega high school. The price tag, that's hard to swallow. But what are our alternatives here? Doing nothing? Doing nothing would just leave our students in a terrible position, and it would leave the future of the city as a whole in an even worse position if we sit around and do nothing for years longer. It's only a matter of time until Pilgrim degrades to such a point, and for that matter, Tollgate too, that it, to the degree that it is adequately serving students right now, which for many students it simply is not, but it's coming quickly to the day that we simply aren't going to be able to hold classes in these buildings. These buildings were not designed for the 21st century, much less designed to last as long as they have. It's so when we're looking at these designs that are very ambitious, and they come with a hefty price tag, well, we might think that the conditions in our current schools really aren't so bad? Well, I'll suggest that perhaps there are some ways to pare down some of the more ambitious aspects of these designs while satisfying the future needs for our schools and our students to have a safe, warm, dry place to study, environments that are conducive to 21st century learning, such as simply making sure that we have proper electricity in there for modern technology, that the technology of today and the technology that's going to come out a decade, two decades from now. We have to have that capacity. We have to have, if we're designing a 21st century high school, we're going to need larger space because teaching has moved away from just teaching in rows to teaching in groups, having different work areas. There is a lot that these new high schools would improve upon. But that's all of that vision. Let's not allow that vision of what the future should be to mask how bad things are right now. And the fact that we're not going to be just treading water by not investing in our new schools, we're sinking. This is a bad situation right now with our schools, and we need to proactively do something about it. And that time to act is now. We can't afford to just sit around and wait because the cost of doing nothing is far higher than the cost of doing something to right the ship here. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to remind the school department that there's been a lot of questions that have gone unanswered here tonight. There's some financial questions that haven't been answered. And we certainly will expect answers on that, particularly given the fact that We do have another vote on this. This isn't the final vote. Also, at least from my perspective, it is going to be extremely important to me to see those evaluations from other owner project managers regarding the engineering firm or any engineering firm that you choose to build one or two new schools, given the fact that it's basically all about the engineering. So I am going to be really looking forward to seeing what those evaluations are of whomever the engineering firm is. We all know that that's the critical part of this whole process. We don't want to be paying to redo anything. That's it, Mr. President. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Councilman Sinapi.
There we go, I'm gonna unmute it. So just a few quick things. One, Mrs. Walsh's point about the process. She doesn't necessarily have any reason to know this. I don't fault her for it. This has been going on for years, many years, with public involvement and feedback being provided over those years. Sometimes at closely held meetings where everyone was actively engaged, sometimes in group settings, sometimes in larger settings like this. This is far from the first time. And the reason why the plans are what they are is in large part due to the public involvement. This isn't just the superintendent and the school committee, you know, sat together in a room and decided on these plans. This is from a lot of people and a lot of time. And one thing that we haven't mentioned tonight, and I'm not going to harp on because I harp on it every time I bring it up because it bothers me. Part of the reason why we're in this situation is RIDE. RIDE creates the problems that we're facing when it comes to building schools by tacking on millions of dollars worth of fees that if you're, let's say, in Massachusetts, don't need to get paid because in Massachusetts, there's literally a website that says, here are all the school designs that you can pick from that we've previously approved. You can pick one, you can go with that. In Rhode Island, that's not an option. RIDE does not let you do that. RIDE makes you go pretty much from scratch every time regardless of the cost, they don't care. It's not about the kids. It's about, well, it's about something. I'm going to have to ask them, but it doesn't make logical sense. It doesn't make financial sense. And all it does is hurt the city, the kids. The other part is the fact that we were on track to have this project done with renovations to both buildings previously before at 11th hour, they decided to close the book on that one unilaterally. And bearing in mind, we had a well-renowned expert come in, have lots of meetings, I think over the course of years even. It took a while because he did his job. He did his job well. We had a cross-section of the community, students, teachers, administrators, legislators, all get together to figure out the best thing and the best option. They all determined that based on his expertise over the years of renovating schools, including high schools, that there wouldn't really be a disruption to learning and it'd be worth doing. Ride, in its infinite wisdom, disagreed. And now here we are with a project that obviously costs much more. And so one of the caller's points, what about all these other schools? They're older, why aren't we replacing them? Well, to be honest, we weren't supposed to replace these. That was not the plan. Ride doesn't care, unfortunately, what we think, what any of us think, what our expert thought, what the community think, nobody. So if anyone has a bone to pick, I strongly encourage you pick it with Ride, because we are spending millions in some cases, and actually over 100 million more than we should be, because Ride's too ignorant and too full of themselves to care. So keep that in mind.
Thank you, Councilman. Solicitor Walsh, I believe you just have a quick grammar amendment to just clean things up, and then I'm going to entertain a motion. Solicitor Walsh.
Thank you, Mr. President. Amendment is to clarify a typo on line 29. The first word says state, it should be stage. So the amendment would be to delete state and insert stage on line 29.
Thank you very much. Councilman Foley, would you like to make that amendment?
Yes, I move we amend as stated.
Do we have a second on that? Second by Councilman Howe. Any questions on the amendment? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll on the amendment.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
And yes to amend.
Okay, the amendment passes. Councilman Foley.
I make a motion for favorable action on this resolution.
As amended.
I'm sorry. Okay. Thank you.
Second by Councilman Howe and Councilman McElroy. Any additional questions that were not asked earlier this evening?
Mr. President?
Yes, Mr. Howe.
Not a question, but just a thank you to Councilman Sinapi. And I would like to second and co-sponsor all his statements about the Rhode Island Department of Education. Thank you.
The record will reflect that.
I'd like to be added to that too.
Me too.
No problem. Yeah, Don is giving the thumbs up too. Okay, hearing none other questions, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action on PCR 21-22A as amended.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
And yes, motion passes.
Thank you very much. The motion passes. I would like to thank everyone who participated this evening, the school committee, the school department, members of the public. A lot of questions, a lot of information was brought forward this evening. Now it moves to the next step. It goes to Ride. So please reach out to your council people, reach out to the school committee with additional questions, with your concerns. Let us know. This moves it forward to the next step. So I thank our colleagues on the school committee and Madam Chair, thank you very much. And Superintendent, thank you.
Thank you.
Council President McAllister, I'd like to thank you and the members of the council as well to support Stage 2 submission. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Great work.
I second that. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you
all for putting your time and energy and your thought process into this. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, what I'm going to ask is we still have a number of business to take care of. I would like us to go back into the appointments committee. We have a one more appointment to be considered. Then we have public safety committee. Then we'll reconvene to the full city council. So why don't we take a 5-minute recess so everyone can get up and stretch their legs, and we will reconvene at how about 9:55. So we'll do a little more than 5 minutes, and we'll be at 9:55. We will reconvene in the appointments committee. Thank you. Chairman Gephardt, Councilman Ricks, who is the third? Councilman Sinapi, I'm guessing.
Yep, Councilman Sinapi is here. okay, the time is now 9:56. And appointments is back. We completed our first appointment, and we are now on to the municipal court judge. Your Honor, Judge McElroy is here. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
So nice to have you here tonight. I know that there may be some questions or some comments of support from the group, and I know that you wanted to say a few things. I just had a brief opening question of, you know, you've been at this now for about 3 years, and just want to see how things are going in the Warwick Municipal Court.
They're going well. I'm definitely enjoying this new role. Portions of it were unexpected. You know, we had a big chunk of that time was during COVID, but I think we're back on track, and I think it's going well. We have great staff, and it's court, so not everyone's always happy to be there, but you know, we try to move things along swiftly and treat everybody fairly.
That's great. Are there any initiatives or sort of focus area for you on this next term? Anything that you're looking to do?
I think what I would like to do is see more of the process turn into a more digital format, streamline work, so it's not being repeated by different individuals. I know that there are some things in place with the Cranston Municipal Court that I had initially started exploring, and then, like I said, we kind of got disrupted with COVID, but I think that if we can make it easier for everybody to handle this business online, I think if there's easier communication between, you know, what the police department is inputting into their systems, that it automatically kind of gets populated in ours, I think it might lessen the amount of hours people are, you know, just doing data entry. I'm hopeful of that, but I'm needing to understand those systems as well. So, but that's definitely something we're looking to do.
Yeah, that's great. That sounds good. I will open it up to members of the committee. So Councilman Sinapi, I believe you had your hand raised first.
Just a quick reminder, because it always stuck with me back when Judge McElroy was first appointed, that even the detractors or the opposition, as you may want to put it, all pointed out that she was overqualified for this position. It just bears reminding. That's all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. So I guess I'll start out by referring back to a few years ago. My standard for review here, if you can pardon the legal pun, is the nominee qualified, the nominee of the mayor? And so, same as it was 3 years ago, the answer is absolutely yes. I would also just want to add on a little note beyond that when speaking with folks who have appeared in front of Judge McElroy I've always received the feedback that Judge McElroy is fair. And I've also received feedback that indicates that, you know, she's very fair and understanding when it comes to pro se litigants, which is especially important in the municipal court. As I see it, one of the main functions of the municipal court, why we have a municipal court, as opposed to just sending everybody off to the traffic tribunal or up to the district court or, you know, respectively, those other forums, is that this is really, in large part, a matter of keeping things more accessible and more convenient and really more fair for our residents here in Warwick, so that they don't have to appear on a very long calendar in a district court that's handling far more cases, and so that they can also have a little bit more time to be heard, a little bit more flexibility, so that especially with the times that the court is in session, that's largely so that more people don't have to take time out of work. So I think that our municipal court plays a very important role here in the city. And I think that Judge McElroy is doing an excellent job fulfilling that role. Thank you.
Thank you,
Councilman. Councilman
Lattiser. Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, Your Honor.
Good evening.
I can't believe so much time has passed so quickly. And having said that, you know, things change over time. But I have to say, I have, as you know, I've been in your courtroom on numerous occasions, particularly in the last couple of months. And you run an outstanding courtroom. I have had nothing but the highest praise and accolades for the job that you're doing. I've witnessed it firsthand. You maintain control. You exercise discipline. You give all the latitude that's necessary to those people who are not necessarily coming before you with all the great things. I speak with minimum housing often because I spend a lot of time on minimum housing issues. And the job that you're doing in moving us beyond this problem or these problems that have just festered for so many years is very commendable. There's no nonsense. You fear, you give people the opportunity to correct it, but God help them if they're coming back before you and they haven't lived up to what your expectations are, et cetera. So I'm really honored and proud to support you in this reappointment. I've witnessed it firsthand. You're doing a great job, and I want to thank you for that. And also, as I think one of my colleagues indicated, I have also had folks who have appeared before you and have accolades as well. So they just had to stand tall for the law, but yet they were pleased with how respectful you were in dealing with whatever their issues are. So thank you for that. And I'm going to be happy to support your reappointment.
Thank you, Councilman.
Thank you, Councilman. I believe the Council President has his hand raised.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Judge, great to see you this evening. Thanks for hanging in there.
thank you.
I just want to thank you. I was proud to support you a few years ago. I thought you were, as Councilman Ricks mentioned, overqualified for the position. It's always great to have people in the public sector that are overqualified and have excellent experience. I think your temperament, you run a great meeting or you know, a great courtroom. And I just really appreciate it. And like I said, I was proud to support you before, and now I'm even more proud that to vote to reappoint you. I think you're doing an excellent job, and we're lucky to have you. And I just want to thank you for serving our community.
Thank you so much, Mr. President.
Thank you, Council President. Who is next? Councilwoman Travis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've heard nothing but the best when it comes to you being in your courtroom. I have not had the pleasure of watching you, of course, but everybody seems very, very happy when they walk out that the fact that you treated them with respect and you did what you, you know, felt that you had to do. And I'm very proud to be able to reappoint you also.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've heard nothing but the best when it comes.
What's that, repeating?
Thank you, Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Chairman. Good evening, Your Honor. And I wanted to also say that I think the Council President kind of stole a little bit of my comment when he said that he was honored and happy to support you in your initial nomination and appointment. And I'm proud and happy to say that I was as well, one of the first to appoint you. Your references, recommendations, and the resume you came with was enough on your own, in your own manner, to put you in the position you are in now. And we're lucky to have you, and I'm grateful to have you representing this city as we move forward. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Apologies to my colleagues, but I'm going to call on the mayor as he probably should get some sleep one of these days, Mayor.
Thank you, Councilman. I actually came home during all this, so I'm in my PJs. I'm really relaxed. But I just want to speak with Judge McElroy. And I had a little trouble getting on Zoom from here. When I first got there, Kelly came to see me. And I sat down and I told her we wanted to increase traffic enforcement. And I didn't know how that was going to affect the courts. She was good enough on her own time to come back and meet with Chief and I. And we went over this. Everyone says what a wonderful job she does. She even pleases Lynn. I mean, and that you all know that's a chore. I really don't care for you guys saying she's overqualified because I don't want to lose her. So, you know, let's stop that stuff. But I mean, it's an honor, and I was so glad I could reappoint her as our sole judge.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Councilman Foley.
I just want to voice my support also. Thank you for your service to the city. It's always great to have good people in important positions. Thank you again for your service.
Thank you, Councilman.
And Councilman Lattiser, one more bite at the apple here. Okay. He said he thinks you're doing a wonderful job.
I was muted, so you couldn't hear me. I said, sorry, I still had my hand up in error.
Okay.
I took it down.
Are there any other members of the council who haven't had a chance to speak yet or would like to say something? Any members of the public? Judge McElroy, did you have anything else that you wanted to add?
I just wanted to say thank you, obviously, to Mayor Picozzi. We did not know each other before you won your election, and it's just been a pleasure working with you. I appreciate your confidence in me in reappointing me. I'm really enjoying this position, so thank you for that.
You've earned it, Judge. You've earned it.
Thank you. And I just want to thank all of you on the council for your support. Thank you, Mr. President and Chairman Gebhardt, for accommodating me this evening. I'm not sure if you knew, I teach a law class at Roger Williams Law School from 5 to 8 on Monday evening. So thank you for not having me need to cut out time out of the class because we don't have enough time as it is to get everything done we need to do in our 3 hours. So I appreciate you giving me this time at the end of your very long evening. And that's it. I'm really enjoying this position. As you've pointed out, you know, this is a court where you know, we are reaching people that typically you wouldn't see in any of the statewide courts. You know, we see a lot of people, this might be their only access or involvement in the court system. And I want to be respectful. It's not hard to do. I mean, it's not that there's any reason to be anything but respectful. And I do try to, especially, you know, with the housing matters, you know, we see people before the court that they don't want to be there. You know, they're not willingly, you know, being difficult. Some of them just don't have the means to handle the things that they need to handle. So, you know, we try to be patient with them, but also be mindful of, you know, your constituents who are living alongside them. So I'm hoping that I can continue to keep that balance and keep everybody happy. Thank you.
Thank you. At this point, having heard from the council, the committee, and the public, I would entertain a motion.
Move favorable action.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Congratulations, reappointment.
Thank
Looking
you.
Looking forward to all the good work. Thank you so much for your hard work and for your service.
Thank you so much. Nice seeing you all.
Me too.
Have a good evening.
There being no further business before the appointments committee, we will adjourn at 10:12.
We still have one committee to meet, and that's the public safety committee, and that is ready whenever Mr. Chairman Foley calls it.
Calling the meeting to order now at 10:12. First order of business is the acceptance of the minutes from the committee meeting held on December 20th. Motion.
So moved.
You're muted, Councilman McElroy.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
First is a resolution relative to claims. Excuse me a second. I know what I'm looking for. The first one, I believe, is Carl Anderson. Is I am saying that right? I hope. And the recommendation is for approval in the amount of $300. Anyone on the committee have any comments?
All seems to be in order.
Any members of the council have questions? Not seeing any hands. Anyone in the public? Any comments? Seeing no hands, can I have a motion?
Move favorable action in the amount of $300.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next one is for Mr. Harrower. And there's a recommendation. I think there's a slight error on that one, though. I think the amount should be $190.25.
I concur.
So do we need a motion, Mr. Walsh, to make that change? Solicitor Walsh.
As you're going to vote these items favorably in the standard way, they can stay on the consent calendar, and it's just put the motion in with the amount the way Councilman Ricks just did in adjusting it to the state limit of 300 in the prior item. The lowest award here would be the practice here.
All right. So do we have a motion offsite? Any members of the council comments, questions? Any members of the public? So do we have a motion to award this in the amount of $190.25?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Next, Dennis Loprestri. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing these right. This is in the amount of $277.31. Any comments from the committee? Any comments from the council? Any comments from the public? Seeing none, do we have a motion?
Move favorable action in the amount of $277.31.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next, Jennifer Veltri. The recommendation is for approval in the amount of $260.77. Any comments from the committee? From the council? From the public? Seeing none, do we have a motion?
Move favorable action in the amount of $260.77.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The last claim is for John Walsh. The approval in the amount of $300. Any comments from the committee? From the council? From the public? Seeing none, do we have a motion?
Move favorable action in the amount of $300.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Back to the docket. Item number two is PCR 1622, a resolution to reduce the speed limit on Pleasant View Road from 25 to 20. I'm asking for favorable action. There was a traffic study done for this. Any questions from the committee? From the council?
I have a question.
Councilman Sinapi.
Did you have an engineering report with this as well?
Yes, the police department ran it by. I believe that what I, if I'm remembering this right, and Joanne, if you're still with us, correct me if I'm wrong, it was already posted at 20 miles an hour on that street, but there was no ordinance or resolution paperwork following it. So this is just making the paperwork up with what the sign says.
Yeah.
But answering your question directly, yes, they did reach out and it was approved with engineering.
Yes, Director Earls did sign off on this as well as the traffic study from the police department.
That must be nice. All right, thanks.
So do we, any other questions from the council? Questions from the public? Do we have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Third item, PCR 1822A, resolution, I'm sorry, 1822, yes. Resolution in regards to erecting stop signs on Salick Street, Limestone Street, Langley Street, where they each intersect with Horseneck Road. For action, Councilwoman Travis?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, and I like favorable action. This is followed by a traffic study. This is located right near Oakland Beach School. And Horseneck Road is a very long, long road. It's like 2,300 feet in length, and it's considered a secondary road. These other three streets are the three streets that remain that do not have stop signs. And because of the busing issue, that we have less buses, more kids are walking on this street. And it does have a favorable action for the traffic study.
Thank you. Any other questions from the committee? From the council, from the public? Seeing none, do we have a motion for favorable action?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Four, PCR 1922, resolution regarding installing a marked crosswalk and signage on the southern side of Gordon Avenue at the intersection of Horseneck Road. For action, Councilwoman Travis.
Yes, this is also a favorable action coming out of the same traffic report at that area near Oakland Beach School. It's a mock crosswalk with the signage being placed there. And again, for the safety of the children, it's been approved with the traffic study.
Thank you. Any other questions from the committee? From the council? From the public? Seeing none, do we have a motion?
Favorable action.
Second.
Favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Finally, item five, a PCR 2022, a resolution regards to erecting a stop sign on Harrob Avenue where it intersects Arnold's Neck Drive. For action, President McAllister.
Thank you, Mr. Foley. I also have a positive traffic study. Councilman Foley, sorry, I keep calling him Mr. tonight. Councilman Foley, I have a positive traffic study. Arnold's Neck Drive is the road in and out, the only way in and out to Arnold's Neck neighborhood. So gets a lot of traffic, and it comes down on a hill there. So this was requested by the neighbors, supported by the traffic study, and asked for your support.
Since you corrected yourself, I have no problem with moving it forward. Do we have any questions from the committee? Any questions from the council? Any questions from the public? Do we have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, before you adjourn this committee, we do have additional minutes from the December 20th meeting. If the folks could make a motion accordingly.
I'm sorry, my mistake, sir. Thank you for catching me. So we have a motion for the minutes, the other set of minutes from the December 20th meeting. Do we have a motion for favorable action?
Move to approve the same.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you, Solicitor. Oh, I'm sorry. So the meeting adjourns at 10:22.
Thank you very much. We are going to move back into the full council meeting. I'm just going to give the solicitor a minute here to catch up. if you're joining us at home, we had called the council meeting at 7 o'clock. We have done roll call, salute to the flag. We have done general communications and executive communications. We accepted the minutes for the July 19th meeting. And then we moved up an item that was on listed in number two under unanimous consent, PCR 21-22. We have addressed that as well. So if you're following along at home, we are back at number one on the agenda, which is announcement of appointments. So I'm going to call on Councilman Gephardt to read in the announcement of the appointments. These are appointments that did not require confirmation. Councilman Gephardt.
Okay, announcement of appointments. Let me just make sure I'm at the beginning. To the planning board, Benny Bergatino, Linda Paulselli, Stephen Catalano. To the school building committee, William Facenti and Armin Lucy.
Thank you very much, Councilman. Next up, number two this evening is appointments requiring confirmation. The first is Historical Cemeteries Commission committee report appointments.
So on the Historical Cemeteries Commission, the Honorable Francis Flaherty, the committee recommends favorable action.
Could you move that for me, Councilman?
I move favorable action.
Second by Councilwoman Travis and Councilman Howe, Councilman Lattiser, Councilman Foley, Councilman McElroy, Councilman Ricks. Are there any questions that were not discussed earlier this evening in the Appointments Committee? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Mr. Sinappi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
And yes, appointment passes.
Thank you, the appointment passes. Next up is an appointment to the Municipal Court. Committee report appointments.
Judge Kelly McElroy, committee recommends favorable action.
For action, Ward 8. She lives in Ward 8. So, Councilman Sinappi, would you like to do the honors?
Gladly. I move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Howe, Councilwoman Travis, Councilman Foley, Councilman Lattiser, Councilman Ricks, Councilman Gephardt. Are there any questions that have not been asked during committee earlier this evening? Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes, Madam Clerk.
Mr. McElroy?
Recuse.
Mr. Rex?
Yes.
Mr. Sinappi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
Eight yes, one abstention. Appointment passes.
Thank you very much, and congratulations again, Judge. Next up is number 3 on the agenda that we go moving to the consent calendar. This is PCR 22-22, resolution relative to bids. Committee report, finance.
Move favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Favorable action.
Second by Councilman Gephardt. Go ahead, Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Bid 22. Oh, here we go. You're absolutely right, Councilman Lattiser. Bid 2022.
Say that again, please.
You say yes as many times as you did. We'll do just fine. Bid 2022-316 redistricting services. Bid 2022-305 manage engine AD self-service. Bid 2022-318 uniform badge number boards. Bid 2022-280 police pre-employment medical exams. Bid 2022-309 purchase chemical ammunition. Bid 2021-240 Bravo, City of Warwick, District 6, gasoline, low sulfur diesel, ultra low sulfur diesel fuel. Bid 2022-321 municipal fire training program. Bid 2022-275 fire department class B uniforms. Bid 2022-322 repair rescue 14. Bid 2022-314 State of Rhode Island Electrical Services. Bid 2022-291 Alpha, overhead door repair and replacement. Bid 2022-291B, overhead door repair and replacement. Bid 2022-312, State of Rhode Island fire extinguisher maintenance and repair. Bid 2022-256, frames, grates, and covers. Bid 2021-134, heating oil. Bid 2022-313, State of Rhode Island lamps, ballasts, and related electrical supplies. Bid 2022-307, grinder pump repair, Ben Street. And bid 2022-320, GASB 75, OPEB actuarial services.
Thank you very much, Councilman. Are there any questions that were not asked way back in the Finance Committee earlier this evening? Hearing none, we will move to abatements. PCR 23-22, committee report, finance.
The committee voted favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Favorable action in the amount, I wrote down, correct me if I'm wrong, please. I wrote down $3,707.10. That's what I wrote down. I don't have it directly in front of me from the document.
Yeah, that sounds good. Mr. Walsh?
Yes, 37.79 and 10 cents.
And Councilman Gephardt, you wanted to second that motion? Second by Councilman Gephardt and Councilman Foley. Thank you. All right, any questions on the abatements? Okay, we are going to move to 3 now. It's PCR 24-22, resolution relative to claims committee report, public safety.
We have 5 claims tonight. They're all for favorable action.
For action, Councilman, if you just move it one more time, Councilman Foley.
We move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Gephardt. Go ahead, Councilman Foley.
One for Mr. Anderson for $300. Thomas Harrower for $190.25. Mr. Lowe Cresty for $277.31. Ms. Veltri for $260.77. And Mr. Walsh for $300.
Any questions on the claims? Okay, now we're going to vote on the consent calendar as a whole. Are there any questions on the consent calendar as a whole? That is the last three things we just did. PCR 22-22, PCR 23-22 and PCR 24-22. Okay, hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action on the consent calendar.
Ms. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes.
Thank you. The consent calendar passes. We are now moving to unfinished business on the agenda. First up is PCO 39-21 committee report ordinance. And I believe we have an amendment with this.
Right. So the committee moved this for favorable action for the purpose of discussion. I know Solicitor Walsh has crafted the clause to get added in.
So can I get a motion for favorable in a second? Then we'll call on Mr. Walsh.
So move for favorable action.
Second by?
Second.
Councilman Ricks. Thank you. And Councilman Lattiser. Go ahead, Chairman Sinappi.
So Solicitor Walsh, I think you have the clause we're going to add in.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President, and members of the council. As we left off in discussion earlier, there was one small set of clerical amendments that we wanted to put in, and that was amending on page 2, line 5, after the word value, insert staff shall obtain. And after the word offerers, changing the word from to for. That was a clerical amendment. And then we had more extended debate that asked for me to put together some additional language that was focused on the concept of effectively a bid deposit, that there is a provision that's in this that we're already adding about requiring a deposit as it relates to when executing a purchase and sale agreement, but there's concerns about someone being awarded a as the best bidder, as to be the successful bidder, but concerns about what happens should there be non-performance. So, and it's balancing the city's interest of trying to ensure enough activity that people do bid on the front end, but aren't all required to put a significant sum down as part of the full bid process. So the question is, what's that reasonable alternative? And with some research that I've done during the course of the meeting as well, I came up with some language for your consideration to add to the amendment to line 5 that I had previously stated for clerical issues, which is to add a new section. And logistically, I would probably insert this as a new subsection D on line 10 on page 2 and redesignate the current, what you see is proposed to be D, as a new subsection E. So just putting it in that place. And it reads something like this as follows. The city may require a bid deposit not to exceed 5% of a property's assessed value to accompany bid submissions under this section. All bid deposits, except that of the successful bidder, shall be refunded or returned within a reasonable time after the identification of the successful bidder. The successful bidder's bid deposit shall be applied to the purchase price at closing or forfeited to the city as liquidated damages for non-performance should a successful bidder fail to timely execute a purchase and sales agreement or to close the sale as determined by the city solicitor, and provided that notice of forfeiture is provided at least 15 days in advance and the successful bidder has an opportunity to cure the non-performance within such timeline. So, and just for a logistics sake, the amendments that any amendments that we make this evening is going to be returning this item to first passage. So we'll have another opportunity to see the full verbiage after tonight's vote at as a subsequent meeting as well. And so if there's any questions about the additional language, I'm happy to take your input.
Thank you very much, Mr. Walsh. And I believe you worked with the planning director on the language.
I did
as well, and the planning director is available if there's any council members that have any questions.
Mr. President, that addresses my concern. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lattiser. Councilman Lattiser. Any other questions?
Tonight, woo!
I'm very formal tonight, yes. Any other questions on the amendment? No. Okay. We need a motion on the amendment first. Councilman Sinapi. Councilman Sinapi moves it favorable as amended. Do we have a second? Second by Councilman Lattiser. Okay. I see the planning director has his hand up. Go ahead, director.
Yeah. So in light of this change, right, does that mean we're deleting the sentence on lines 7 and 8? Because we don't need the 20% deposit anymore, right? Or
so they're two separate things, is my understanding.
Yeah, correct.
Yes, because we are not making any change to the purchase and sale deposit. Effectively, what we've said is the bid deposit is a supplementary step that ensure that it is a guard against non-performance of either someone be identified and then backs out and doesn't complete the purchase and sale, or should they get to the purchase and sale and not complete to closing for whatever reason, the city has the ability to hold this bid deposit, which is either, you know, the only two ways out of it are applying it to the close, in which case we've completed the process and everything's all set. Or if we don't get through either step of the process, the city has, this is a liquidated damages provision available, provided that the, you know, city solicitor will have to address the timeliness and reasonableness of how they go about these processes, because there are other requirements under the proposal about getting appraisals and checking other boxes. So there's a reasonableness component that the solicitor will have to fulfill, but I feel like the language provides enough guardrails here that we have something that, you know, protects us on that end of the process and makes clear that when someone enters into this, that they need to understand these provisions and the city can hold them accountable if they don't.
And it gives them time to cure. So even if someone tried to cry foul, they do have a chance to fix it.
Yes, there is that extra catch-all should communications and other things not happen. They get put on notice that we're not, you know, the city is going to move to forfeit this item on you. And, you know, then we'll be able to undo the award and other things, but we'll be able to, you know, maintain that fund not to exceed 5% of the sales price.
Thank you. Any more questions on the amendment? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action on the amendment.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Snappy?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes to amend.
Thank you very much. Councilman Sinapi, would you like to move the amendment?
Move favorable action as amended.
Second by Councilman Lattiser, Councilman Howe. Any questions? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll on favorable action as amended. Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes as amended.
Thank you. And it passes, and that is now first passage. So I will come back for second passage. Thank you. Next up is on the agenda this evening is new business. First up is PCR 16-22, Committee Report, Public Safety.
Favorable action. Recommend favorable action.
Okay. Do we have a second? Second by Councilman Lattiser and Councilman McElroy. Any questions that were not asked earlier this evening? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Ms. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
And yes, motion passes.
Thank you. The motion passes. Number two this evening is PCR 18-22, Committee Report, Public Safety.
Recommend favorable action.
Second by Councilman McElroy, Councilman Gephardt. Any questions that were not asked in the Public Safety Committee earlier this evening? Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinappi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
And yes, motion passes.
Thank you. The motion passes. Number three this evening is PCR 19-22, Committee Report Public Safety.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilwoman Travis.
I move favorable action on PCR 19-22.
Second by Councilman Lattiser and Councilman McElroy. Any questions that were not asked earlier this evening? Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action. Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinappi?
Yes.
Travis?
Yes.
And yes, motion passes.
Motion passes. Next up is number four this evening, which is PCR 20-22, Committee Report Public Safety.
Favorable action.
Councilwoman Travis, can you move that for me, please?
I move favorable action on PCR 20-22.
Thank you. Second by Councilman Lattiser and Councilman McElroy. Any questions that were not asked earlier this evening? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
It's McAllister.
Yes.
Mr. Foley. Mr. Foley.
Yes.
Yes. Mr. Hart.
Yes.
Mr. Howe.
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser.
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
Yes, motion passes.
Thank you. The motion passes. We now move to unanimous consent. So the first up is PCO 1-22. This is for second passage. The first question I need to ask the council, is there any objection to hearing PCO 1-22 at this time under unanimous consent? Okay, hearing that there is no objection, we will now consider PCO 1-22. This is for a second passage. Councilman Sinappi.
Well, unfortunately, this problem is no less an issue, so I request second passage.
Thank you very much. Do we have second? Second, Councilwoman Travis, Councilman Lattiser, Councilman Foley, Councilman Howe. Any questions? Again, this is for second passage on PCO 1-22. Any questions from members of the public, as this is under unanimous consent and did not go through the committee? So I just want to make it available if there's any members of the public. Any members of the public. Okay. Then hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action for second passage.
Mr. McAllister.
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinappi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 years, second passage.
Thank you very much. Second passage. And again, great work, Councilman Sinappi, for bringing this forward. This affects not just your ward, but the entire city of Warwick. Next up on the agenda, we have already addressed, which was PCO 21-22, that moved favorable as amended. So Ward 1, are there anything for you to like to docket under unanimous consent?
Pass.
Ward 2.
Pass.
Ward 3.
Pass.
Ward 4.
Pass.
Ward 5.
Pass.
Ward 6.
Pass.
Ward 7 passes. Ward 8?
Pass, unless I'm forgetting something, Solicitor Walsh.
The question, I know that the planning director was hoping that we'd have
you're right. Yep.
Second passage moved up if it's the pleasure of any member of the council.
So yeah, I'll add that one.
9-1, now sub A.
What was that one again?
So the item that we just did, the large amendment to, which was already down for second passage. The planning director had hoped if we could continue this on a faster track, if it's the council's appetite. So it would be PCO 3921 sub A to move it second passage for the second meeting and at the next meeting.
I'll add that under unanimous consent, please.
Okay. In Ward 9, anything for unanimous consent? He passes. Councilwoman Travis.
If there be no further business of this honorable body, I move to a docket session.
Any objection to moving to a docket session? Hearing none, we are now in the...
Mr. President, one other thing. At the beginning of the meeting, we didn't get a move and second on the council minutes. We could just revote that quick on the acceptance of the minutes January 19th. I know we did a voice vote, but if we could get someone to move it and second it and go from there.
Sure. Councilman Gephardt?
Move that.
And second by Councilman Lanisern, Councilman Foley, Councilman Howe, and Councilman McElroy. Any questions on the minutes? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action on the minutes.
You can do the voice vote at this point.
Okay, voice vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right. So now, is there any objection from anybody, including the solicitor, of us moving to the into the docket session? Okay, we are now in the docket session. Ward 1, anything to docket this evening?
Pass.
Ward 2?
Pass.
Ward 3?
Pass.
Ward 4?
Pass.
Ward 5?
Pass.
Ward 6?
Pass.
Ward 7 passes. Ward 8?
1, a resolution naming the primary roadway between Route 115 and Route 117 servicing Tollgate High School, Women Middle School, and the Impossible Dream in honor of Robert Shapiro.
Committee, what do you recommend, Mr. Walsh?
I believe we should go public safety.
Public safety. Anything else, Councilman Snappy?
No, thank you.
Ward 9.
Nothing for me. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. This was a very informative and excellent meeting. Great discussion. Thank you for everyone who participated. And stay safe, and we'll see you soon. Thank you.
Thank you again. Have a wonderful night, everyone.
Bye, everyone. Good night.
Thank you, you two guys.
Good night.
Good night.
Phil, thank you to you and your staff for helping us get a seamless meeting going.
Always a pleasure.